Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name is Chris Bartlett.
And I'm Matt Rice, and we're a couple of Catholic dads trying to do the best job we can and share whatever we come up with other Catholic dads like you out there.
Hey, we believe that Catholic fatherhood can change the world, and so we're going to dive into that today and every day at the Catholic Dad Show. Matt, what are we talking about today? Debating.
Are we debating anything today? Or
debacling?
Maybe we are. Father Stu. So that, like, Father Stu just came out, and it's a movie about a Catholic priest. I have no idea how accurate it is, you know, to his life, or because it says based on a real story or a true story. I have no idea how much of it is actually true. So I have seen the movie. I went last night. I think it was released that night. It was released yesterday, but there may have been a couple of showings the night before. But I got to see it last night. Chris has not seen the movie, but Chris did your research, right?
I have not seen the movie, and I may not see the movie.
Based on the
because
research?
Because it is rated R.
It is.
How
it is
can
rated
a
R.
movie about God, who is all good, G for good, be rated R?
So my what I pose to you is Augustine's life, pre-conversion, lift that back up.
Well, that's actually, his was NC-17.
And, Ignatius, his life, pre-conversion, lift that back up.
Oh, no, that was PG-13 compared to Augustine.
So that's why it's rated R, because it has to show you his life before conversion. For the movie, for his conversion, for it to make sense or whatever. That's the testimony in a way. Now honestly, I don't think it glorifies it. Like, that's the tough thing about a testimony is when you're giving your testimony, you don't want to glorify your past. You don't want to glorify sin. I don't think it glorifies it. But anyway, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I think that the movie, in regards to kind of overviewing it, and I'm going to have to do the research to see which famous person said this. But there's a quote that says, there is no saint without a past and no sinner without a future.
Yep.
And I think that could be like Father Stu, no saint without a past, no sinner without a future. Because it does showcase the life of Father Stu, pre-conversion, the mess.
Oh, yeah.
And then the God, and then the priesthood, and then the challenges.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even some of the mess in the beginning, like in his priestly formation. It was just interesting to see some of that too. And again, I don't know how much of that was for movie purposes or how much of that was real. But as he's being, like, we'll dive into this. And guys, if you haven't seen the movie and you're going to see the movie in, like, I don't know, you're afraid of spoilers, don't watch this episode until you see the movie. Okay? So let's just, like, warning right now, I'm probably going to tell you things about the movie that you may rather watch in the movie. So pause
this.
But
if you also want to spoil it, it sounds like you could also go read an article on Father Stu's life.
True.
And that would spoil it as well. You
True.
Know what I mean?
But
and So
I don't know how many of the things that the movie took license with you would actually read. And so I'm going to share things that are in the movie that you may not be able to read about. Does that make sense?
So before we get to any spoilers, Matt, without any spoilers, give the movie a rating on a scale of 1 to 10, like just as a movie.
So I loved it. I thought it was great. I am not a movie critic, so I don't know anything about the, you know, filmography. Is that a word?
I'm just cinematography, but I'm just asking you. I'm asking Matt's opinion.
About all
I'm
that
not
stuff.
Asking.
I really liked it. I will watch it again. Uh-huh. I would recommend it for adult or mature teen audiences, not because of the language.
Okay.
There's no nudity. Yeah, there's no nudity. There's no even, like, there may be one suggestive scene, but like fully clothed, whatever. It's like there's one scene that's suggestive sexually, but the biggest thing is just language. That's it. That's why it's
rated
R.
That's what got the R?
Yes.
Language.
A bunch of F-bombs.
Uh-huh.
A bunch of F-bombs. And Yeah.
I'm very innocent and very, like, I don't know. I go to church every Sunday. I don't know what you mean by F-bombs.
Do you want to say the word?
No, I don't want to. I don't want our YouTube channel to be restricted.
That F-word that rhymes with truck. Does that help?
Okay, got it. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so you said that it was like probably a 9 or a 10 out of 10.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, I, like, it's I'm a sappy guy.
Now, as for a Christian movie, that puts it at like a 14.
I cried in this movie like two or three times.
Did you really?
Totally.
That's amazing.
I'm a crier.
Okay.
And especially, so the thing is like, and this is-
So it was entertaining, it was meaningful, but it was moving. For you, it was moving.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so, yeah, as far as Christian movies, like if you compare it to other Christian movies, it was off the charts. Because it was so well done. And that's one thing I really loved about this movie is it was a good movie with entirely entirely Christian themes.
You know, it was a blockbuster. It wasn't just like a Christian skinned movie. It was a blockbuster or whatever. It was
I don't know what you classify a blockbuster. Like there were two other people in the theater with me when we did it on opening night. So
no.
I am really curious as to how many people are actually going to go see it.
So, oh, no.
So, like, and now, this was a Wednesday night. We went at 10 o'clock, you know, and it's Holy Week. So, maybe...
Wait, you said we. So, you brought one of the other two other people in the theater?
No. So, there were four people total. Me and Wesley and two others. My wife and I and two others.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we went late at night, and it released on Wednesday. And they do that on purpose, I think, to pad their stats. Like they release it, but then they only count the weekend. I don't even know how they do that. But yeah, I'd be interested to see how many people go to a movie about a priest.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so Catholics, y'all watching this, go see that movie. If we want more stuff like this out in the theaters, we've got to put our money where our mouth is and get right out there and do that. And so go to this movie. It's an R-rated movie for language. If you're not going to go because of that, then don't go because of that.
But buy a ticket.
Yeah.
And don't go.
There you go. I like that too.
Invest in this movie.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought.
That's great. Yeah. Okay, good. So this is not a God is not dead type of movie where it just feels so cringe Christian. That's what I wanted to get out of, because I have seen a lot of Christian movies that I've walked out of them and I've been like, I guess that was good for a Christian movie.
Yeah, no.
This was good for a movie.
Yeah.
And that's good.
As real as they portrayed Father Stu, there was one scene, and I'm going to just talk about it now. So spoilers are coming from here on out.
Here they come.
There's one scene, It's during his priestly formation. I don't know. Like they don't really dive into the whole ordination process, so I don't know if he was deacon yet or if it was pre-diaconate. You know that, you know,
transitional
the transitional
diaconate
space. Yep. Space of a year or whatever. I don't know if it was that, but I'm pretty sure it was not, based on what happened the rest of the movie. But they don't tell you about all that stuff.
Get to the meat, man.
I know,
get to the
shut
meat.
Up. Well, like it's not meant for a Catholic audience. And so that's one thing that I find interesting. So it doesn't do a whole big deep dive into Catholic theology or anything like that. So if you're like, I don't know, Uber, a friend of mine uses the term Shiite Catholic. if you're like that level of Catholic and you're expecting like hardcore Catholic themes, you're not going to find it.
So the movie's not in Latin, is what I'm
exactly.
hearing
from it's you. Exactly. Okay. It's not Latin or English with Latin subtitles. Neither one.
Right.
So they go to the prison and they're wearing collars, you know, so that's part of their formation garb or whatever.
Right.
And he's on crutches at this point, you know, because of his disease, which we'll talk about later. But the other priest that comes with him is this real, like, stick up his butt kind of priest or kind of person. And the first thing the guy says, he says something like, we are sent into the dark places to bring light. And the prisoners are like, WTF, man. Like, what? Because we're black? What? Because we're bad? You know? And so then Father Stu looks at him and Father Stu starts talking and he's talking real, just like a real, like been there kind of guy, you know,
yeah.
and really like talks to the heart of these guys, you know, and it's just real interesting to see that where I like when the reason this came up is when you said the God's not dead version, that first priest, you know, in my mind is sometimes the priest when we think of priests, you know, for some reason we think of boring, you know, we think of lame, we think of not connected with the people. Now, that may not be true, you know, for, it's not true for all priests, but I think the general public, that is their understanding of what a priest is.
But like every priest we know, let me say that differently. Nearly every priest that you and I have relationship with totally breaks that stereotype.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what Father Stu did in this movie. And that's
Father Stu lives the adventure of priesthood.
That's one of the things I loved about this movie is he broke that stereotype that I think the culture has of what priests are.
Okay.
And because Father Stu gets it. Like he was in and out of jail, you know, when he was younger. So he understands the guys that are in prison. And this is in this scene. He understands them. He understands the way they talk, the way they think. And he uses that in developing relationships with them, even if it's
to
a
crowd. Master.
Yeah, yeah. And so then he breaks the ice and talks to them, gets them ready. And then he looks at the other priest. He's like, you want to try that again? Now that they're ready, you want to try that again? You know, and it was just a really cool scene. And it was one of those moments where he's like, yeah, this is not the hokey Christian, you know, scene where that in that version of the movie, what he said would have worked.
Yeah.
And in reality, it would not.
Yep.
You know, and so it was real. And I that's what I really liked about it.
Good. So one piece that I've seen going on the socials, and I know you don't know what social media is anymore because you're holy.
No, it's not holy. I'm just tired.
You're tired of it. But a lot of people were like, can we allow someone like Mark Wahlberg to produce radically Catholic content in light of the fact that Marky Mark has had such an interesting past? That's not how they say it, but sin, you've sinned in your past. You can't do anything good anymore. Cancel culture is bad, but also I'm canceling you, Mark. So what are your thoughts in regards to that? Like, I actually, from a personal level, think that A, it's amazing that people are putting money towards Catholic things. B, that Mark Wahlberg, who is one of the most sought after actors, right? You've got yourself your Dwayne Johnson, and then I don't know who else comes second. Probably that Spider-Man guy. Who's the Spider-Man guy? He's everywhere.
Dang it. I don't know, but that you put Dwayne Johnson first is hilarious.
He is. He's the number one most paid actor. Oh, and don't forget about Ryan Reynolds. But then after you get after those guys, it's like Mark Wahlberg. I'm having a stroke the left side of my body.
I almost said it myself, but I was like, we might offend people that actually have had strokes. Right.
Okay, so I apologize. Hey, he's an A-list actor. That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
And he's like, he said he couldn't find someone to produce this film. Like, he was trying to take it, and he's Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so he's like, fine, then I'll produce it myself. And he did it. Of course, he teamed up with his buddy Mel Gibson.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. Mel Gibson's in there too.
You know?
There are a couple of others. Even I believe he's the Cardinal, but they call him Monsignor in the movie. He's a famous actor. I don't know his name, but I've seen him in a lot of stuff. You know, and big stuff too. And so they've got a good, you know,
A-list set.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's, it's really cool to see that. I think it's great that Mark Wahlberg is doing stuff like this. I don't like,
if sinners can't produce amazing things, then we can't have amazing things.
No one can.
Like, yeah. Because I'm hoping that this show is amazing.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of sinners. Raise your hand if you're a sinner, you know.
Hey!
Okay, good. I was like, just me, Matt. This is really awkward.
You raised it before you said the question, jerk.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, so I just want to get that out of the way because I've seen some debate on social media, and I just want to slap people on the wrist and be like, go try and do something amazing, but also think about what you did 10 years ago, and you'll be like, oh, God is pretty cool. I think God's doing some pretty cool things in Mark Wahlberg's heart right now.
Well, and the movie is all about that. The whole movie, Father Stu's life is that.
Right.
You know, it's someone who had a really awful past, atheist, you know, and raised in an atheist household, like just hating God, and who wants to become a priest and has to fight his way into the priesthood. Like, just it was just really beautiful to see. And that was one of the arguments, you know, against him becoming a priest is, you know, you've had a past. And so then he's like, what? And he did the same thing I did to you at the beginning of this. Like, Augustine, you know, he listed off all these other, you know, because he had been studying at that point. He's like,
yeah,
you know, anyway, so it was, he addresses that, or this movie addresses that exactly. And one of the thoughts I had, and I, like, as I was thinking about this movie, I, because of what I do and who I'm around, I end up being around a lot of holy people who have been holy their whole life.
Okay.
And as good of friends as you and I are, Chris, you don't get me in some areas because you haven't had a past like me.
Sure.
And there are aspects of you that I don't get because right. I haven't had a past like you.
Yep.
But in this movie, you know, having seen and learned about Father Stu, I'm like, hey, there's at least one priest out there that would get me.
Yeah.
You know, and that would understand me. And so I think that will resonate with, like again, if those people watch the movie, you know, but it's like, even I could be a priest. If he could be a priest, I could be a priest, you know? And anyway, so there was something about that that I really liked. Cause yeah. Does that make sense?
I would only say that if he can be a priest, people like you could be a priest.
Yeah. I mean, I could be a priest, but a lot of things would have to happen.
Your wife would have to die of natural causes that were not, yeah.
Very sad things would have to happen.
And your children would all have to be self-sufficient. Yes. Yep.
Okay. So like, I don't know if you want me to just start rolling through.
Do it. I want you to just tell it. What moved you? Just walk us through your experience of the movie. Absolutely.
So the
like major spoilers now. These aren't minor spoilers. These are the bigs.
The focus on his past. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time looking at that because when I think about like the purpose of this show, we're not reviewing movies. We're looking at popular culture and trying to tease out what we as Catholic fathers can learn from that. Yeah. And there's not a whole lot other than don't do that you can learn from his past.
Fighting drugs in prison.
Well,
done.
And the way his father treated him is one thing, you know, and the father talks about this, like this is Mel Gibson's character. At the end of the movie, he says a line, and he said, I worked so hard to destroy all my kids' heroes so that eventually I would be his hero.
Wow.
But I gave him nothing with which to make that decision. It was just a really powerful, you know, line. And it made me think, you know, because in the very beginning of the movie, the kid, Father Stu, who would be Father Stu, is dancing, you know, singing to Elvis or whatever. And he's like a 9-year-old or 8-year-old or whatever, dancing and singing, being silly. And the dad makes a comment of, the only thing you and Elvis have in common is peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And those will kill you. So eat your broccoli or eat your vegetables or something like that. So that was just an example of how he tore down the kid's hero.
Yeah.
It didn't give you a whole lot of other examples, but like that made me think, how many times as fathers do we get jealous when our kids look up to someone else other than us?
Mm.
You know, it happens, you know, and what do we do with that? Do we try to compete with that? Do we try to elevate ourselves higher, you know, than that other person? Do we try to tear that other person down?
Right.
You know, and it's like, and so that's a really good point for fathers. It's okay for your kids to have heroes other than yourself. It's actually really good for them to have multiple heroes to look up to because none of us are perfect. None of those heroes they're looking up to are perfect. If they pick the best thing out of each one of those heroes, including yourself, they will be better men than you are. And that's what we want. Like, that's our whole goal. That's my whole goal.
I would say it'd be good if you were one of your kids' heroes. Mm-hmm. But if you're the only hero in your kid's life, I actually would say that's discouraged because they need to have a tribe.
Yeah.
To grow them into the men God wants them to be.
Amen.
Yeah.
So as far as the past, you see how destructive his past is in his life. He's trying to do like a whole lot, you know, on his own without God. I mean, that's kind of obvious. And he's like mediocre at best at boxing. And his brother dies when he's young. And that destroyed, you know, the family even more than his alcoholic father did. It didn't highlight a whole lot about the father and whether he was abusive physically or not. There were a couple of lines through the movie that insinuated that.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't highlight or focus on that a whole lot. So I don't know if that was a part of the history. But based on typical alcoholic father scenario, that is a part of that, you know, I don't know. Scene,
upbringing,
narrative, whatever the upbringing.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, he quits boxing. He's like, I'm going to be an actor. And his mom's like, what? And he goes and he's like a mop salesman. He gets a mop commercial, whatever.
I did see that scene. Yep. Yep. In one of the trailers. Yeah.
And then his mom was like, oh, great. You made it. You know, she thought he was going to be on her soap, and he ends up being a commercial during her soap.
Nice.
But then he comes across a woman that he desires. And I don't want to say the love of his life or anything like that, because at that time and for much of like that scene, it's lust, you know, it's desire. It's not necessary. It's not pure.
Right.
And so he's doing everything he can to chase this girl and that's even get baptized and become Catholic. And so he becomes like in the movie, he becomes Catholic because of her. Like he's chasing
flirt
her.
To convert. Come yeah, on, absolutely. People, flirt to convert.
And she had told him like, my parents will not let you date you if you're not baptized.
Nice.
You know? So he goes through that whole process. And then, I don't know if there was a moment that caused this to happen, but he had gotten in trouble for drinking and driving multiple times in this particular scene. And in the movie, it's interesting because this mysterious, like, scarred character is sitting at the bar next to him drinking water. He's sitting there just pounding shot after shot after shot.
Yeah.
And that character is, in my mind, it's meant to portray Jesus. He is meant to be either a messenger, you know, like from God, like an angel, or meant to be Jesus. And you don't learn that in that scene, but you kind of put two and two together, and he puts two and two together later because he goes back to the bar and said, who was that guy? And the guy's like, I don't know. Never seen him before. He's never been here before and never been here since.
Wow.
But the guy told him, he said, you don't need a lot of things to live for. You just need one. And then he said, don't drink and drive tonight. You know, he don't drive tonight. And then that guy left. Well, then what did he do? Got on his motorcycle, went driving, had to avoid a car, ran a red light after he avoided the car, hit a car, got ran over, was in a freaking coma.
Oh my gosh. It's like 14 things happened to him.
Oh, just it was crazy to watch it happen, man. Cause it's like, oh, he avoided the car. Oh crap. He hit a car. He got thrown 30 feet. And then another car ran over him.
Wow. Like,
you know, but in that scene, as he's almost dying, right. He has a vision of Mary. And so it shows this in the movie. And again, I don't know how much of this is true in Father Stu's life. But sure. that's the way they portray this moment of okay. real deep conversion in his life.
Yeah.
And so Mary says, you're not going to die. She says some other things to him. And even it's interesting because what they did with the film at that moment is they actually made it to where you couldn't hear her voice, but she was obviously talking. So she said some other things to him
right.
that either he didn't hear or we weren't meant to hear as the right. audience.
Yep.
And I thought that was really cool. Just kind of what they did with that scene. And so he's in a coma. He's dying. Like the doctors tell the mom, you know, call whoever, you know, you want to call because who needs to say goodbye to him because he's going to die. And the mom was real against him becoming Christian or whatever. I'm probably getting too deep into the movie because I'm excited about the movie. I like the movie. But the girlfriend comes in with her Bible and a rosary. And the mom says, do you have some sort of spell in there that can heal him? And the girl, you know, is real pleasant or whatever. But she's talking. And as she's talking, he wakes up and he recovers and is healed.
Yeah.
And so then it's a long.
Just a quick pause.
Yeah. Yeah.
Catholic superstition is a thing.
Yeah.
It is. And it's not a healthy thing. Yeah, so we got to be careful. There's kind of two sides. And sometimes those who might get ensnared by sin are different than those that might get ensnared by scrupulosity or even Catholic superstition, right?
Yep.
And it's not intentional. It's sometimes amassed as devotion. I just want to say that because I've encountered some of that. And so that's a great example of someone being like, well, if you just hold your rosary long enough, you want this or this will happen or you'll receive this.
And that is proven false in Father Stu's case.
Cool.
He prayed the crap out of his disease and it did not go away. He died. Okay. He died from it.
Okay. Oh no, another spoiler.
Yeah, sorry. But anyway, I'm getting too nitty gritty into this, but this moment of his near death is the massive conversion moment in his life. He was
the, already, the coma, that whole scene, that whole situation.
Yeah, he's getting closer and closer to God, and then boom, this happens, and he changes his entire life.
Awesome.
You know, and to the point where he stops, like he asks this girl that he's dating to come back to the original restaurant where they had their first date. She thinks he's going to propose, and he says, "I'm going to be a priest." She leaves there crying and bawling. And she's arguing with him. You're just going to the extreme. You just had a bad accident, da, da, da. Her mom and her dad, or his mom and his dad, all fight for him not to be a priest.
Sure.
They call him stupid. You know, they say, "You're crazy," yada, yada, yada. The dad even says, like, gives the guy a gun and says, "You might as well shoot me now because I won't have two sons. Like, now two sons will be dead." It's a really, you know, crazy moment. Which to me, like, just highlights how convicted he was about this calling. You know, everyone that he loved and or cared about him in his life in some way or another, his dad really didn't. But
just as a quick pause, because I think there's a nugget here, regardless of whether or not people see the movie, I think there is a grieving process when you let one of your children go to the church, mm-hmm. whether it's as a priest or a religious, and I think there is something about, oh, I was looking forward to holding grandkids that look like my son.
Yep.
And now that's not going to happen. And so that's a real thing. I don't think it's worth saying that's going to happen, therefore shoot me. I thought that's a weird little logical kind of chain of events. But I do think that I do appreciate that there is some turmoil with having to let your son go to the church, even though it's typically not portrayed in this manner.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that was... that was kind of the conversion. And then, like, she was real mad at him. And then he had to go through a lot of obstacles to get into the priesthood. The way he did it was funny. And anyway, it was great. But then in the end,
see the movie. Yes.
Yeah. In the end, like not the end, but they ended up kicking him out of seminary because of his disease. And they were afraid that it would be a disgrace to the sacraments, because he can't physically hold stuff, you know? So if you're doing the consecration, you can't hold the chalice, you may drop it.
Right.
And if you drop it, then that's a sacrilege against, you know, that sacrament. And so that was the reasoning that they gave him. And so that was like, you were like, well, crap, I guess he's not going to be a priest now. He ended up going back home. And these were some really interesting and cool moments, because the dad started to step up a little bit. Like, his dad, who was a complete deadbeat, started to step up a little bit, started to take care of him, you know, started to, like, he was the one picking him up. Like, he's the one who picked him up and took him home. And then when he was home, he's the one who picked him up when he was in the bathroom. And, you know, so the dad started to actually be step a father.
Up. Yeah.
And so that was a really cool moment. And it was redeeming, you know, that process in a way was the beginning, I think, of the redemption of the father, you know. And so that was really, really neat to see happen. Not that this is like not an obvious nugget or whatever, but if you ever feel like you're too far gone from your kids, if you feel like it's not worth trying anymore, or I've been a bad dad for too long, I can't do this now, or I can't do this, whatever, that's BS and that's a lie from the devil. Don't listen to that at all. There is always a chance for redemption. There's always a way back. And it may not look like the movies, you know, and even this one was not perfect for a long time, you know,
right.
And it wasn't even perfect, I don't think, in the end. But there's always a chance, you know, but that's
every child desires their father. Even 40-year-old children desire their father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are some bridges that are burned and gone, but you can still seek forgiveness and apologize. And that will help regardless. Anyway, so that was really cool to see the father. And so then this was for me, it was like, whoa, shocker, you know. the dad's driving the son to the church, you know, and you just think it's a Sunday mass. Oh, he's just taking him to mass because the kid's, you know, devout now and the father's supporting the kid and going to take him to mass. The truck breaks down. The dad gets out, gets a wheelchair, pushes him the rest of the way to the church, like sweating like crazy. He's like, I got to get you to the church on time. And then he gets there and he sees his ex-girlfriend dressed in a white dress. And he's like, oh, crap. You think I'm going to marry her just because I can't be a priest? Like, that was the comment he made.
Yeah.
And what happens is when he rolls in, the Monsignor or Cardinal is there and his priest buddies are there. And the girl said, our parish, that was his parish, our parish petitioned the diocese for you to become a priest. And the Cardinal said, I had one last fight left in me. And so he became a priest right there that day. And so you see people like, so he goes in a wheelchair and then they lay him prostrate because he can't do it himself.
Wow. And
that scene was just so freaking powerful to me. That was one of the scenes I cried in.
Yeah.
And so that was beautiful. And so that was when he became a priest, and in like, he had a homily there, and that's probably one of the homilies. I don't know if you have Hallow or not, but I think one of there are two homilies he gives and both of those are on Hallow.
Okay.
At least my wife told me that. I'm not on Hallow. One of the, in that homily, his dad is actually in the back of the church, and he's listening to it all. And it's, wow. At one point, the dad starts to turn and listen. And it's all about, like, if I can remember correctly, it's all about redemption, you know, and what Christ's death did. And so just seeing that father-son interplay there and how that, you know, impacted his dad, was really cool to see the dad start to turn, like physically turn. And so, like, again, people do that in the movies all the time. Like, they show a turning point and they physically have the person turn.
Yes.
And that's what they did here. Like, the father was faced away from the church, away from his son, and then turned towards him. And so that was a really cool moment of conversion that you can just see that continue to change in the dad's heart. And so that's like another thing when I think about this, like us fathers, we are also sons of someone, right? And if our fathers are still alive, and we feel like there is conversion needed even in their heart, there's still a chance for us to impact them.
To be an instrument there.
So thinking about like our roles as sons is still a really good thing. Even though this is Catholic Dad's show, you're still a son of someone. And the impact you can have on your father in your life is not done yet, not over yet. And they're always watching us. Like, just think about how much you watch your kids and how much you watch them do what they do and how much that impacts you as a father. Your dad still watches you.
Yep.
You know, and still pays attention to you and sees what you're doing. You influence your father even now. And that's what I got to see from that. And I just thought that was really cool and beautiful.
Awesome. Wow. So there are a lot of layers here to unpack.
Yeah. I'm not done yet, but I'm going to give you a chance to talk because I'm thirsty.
Okay, great. So just as a little aside in the midst of it, I actually just posted on social media, who's seen the movie and what are your thoughts? And so, one person was like, my fiance is going through RCIA and this movie was exactly what they needed to kind of be fired up again as Easter approaches. Another friend of mine said, it's so good. They got to see one of the advanced screenings because all the cool Catholics got advanced screening. And they loved how it didn't sugarcoat things and how there were aspects that everyone could identify with. And so this is a female that mentioned that. And then another person's like, I haven't seen it yet, but I love the fact that money's going towards Catholic creative at this level, right? Not on the Etsy store level, which is still amazing, but like at this level, at the Blockbuster level. And so, good. Yeah. So keep going, Matt. What else?
Oh man. So then the, the next few scenes you see, one is the dad going to AA, and that's really cool. And then at AA, he said, you know, I'm here because my son wants me to get baptized. And so then it's like, oh, wait a second. Do mom and dad become Catholic? I don't know. They didn't say that in the movie, but they insinuated that.
That's awesome.
You know, and so that was really cool. And so then you think about, okay, like, again, you look at someone's life and you see all the crap they went through. Like, I'm talking about Father Stu specifically.
Yeah.
What he, you know, did when he was younger. And whatever, and the disease and the priesthood, da da da. It's like, why? And it's like, well, I mean, even if it's just for his conversion and his parents, it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I can't say that because I'm not going through the disease, you know, or anything like that. But the way that he is portrayed in the movie, he would absolutely say that's worth it.
Right.
But then they, like, so he ends up being in a nursing home because he can't do a whole lot. His dad takes him there and drops him off. And it was another really cool moment, father-son moment, where you could tell the dad's proud of him. You know, and that was not like the dad wasn't proud of him in any other moment, really. You know, and it was, so that was neat to see. But then you see like the line to his confessional, like coming out of the nursing home and wrapping around, you know, people going to confession for to him. And one of them was the stick up the butt priest.
No way. Yeah. That's cool.
So that was cool. But and then this is another little father-son nugget or whatever that I heard. So that guy really actually resented the priesthood. He didn't want to be a priest. He was forced to be a priest by his dad.
Okay.
His father always expected it of him. And so he, like one of the things he said in the confessional was, I've always been looking for an out and I was envious of you that you had an out. And then I was mad at you because you didn't take it.
Right.
You fought against it and you became a priest anyway. And so it was interesting to see the kind of pressures that we as fathers can put on our kids, whether it's the priesthood or the job or whatever it is, like whatever we expect them to be.
Right.
The pressure that we put on them to do that can be very destructive in their life, because that guy was harboring a ton of anger.
Yeah.
I mean, he said that, like he verbalized that. And, you know, and it can set them on a path that they're not meant to be on. You know, we don't, like, the Catholic Church doesn't need priests that aren't called to be priests.
Right.
We don't need those guys.
Nope.
And that's okay. And that's the tough thing for me. It's like, man, I've got three boys. One of them should be a priest, but none of them may be. You know, I'm praying for that, you know, but if that's not God's calling, it's not God's calling. So be it. You know, it's like,
right.
And the other thing is like, whether it's sports or academics or job or whatever, the influence we have as fathers on our kids can set up these, you know, false expectations or expectations that they feel like we have for them. And so that was another like powerful moment that I thought, you know, we as dads can learn from.
That's amazing. Yeah. Sometimes our will be done versus thy will be done isn't just in our own lives, but in our children's lives as well. Yeah.
Yeah. But so for the first half of the movie, I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to pull from this for Catholic Dad Show, because there's a whole bunch of bad stuff in here. And then the last half, I was like, oh, there's something. There's something else. There's another one.
Good. Well, Matt, let's land the plane. Give us your final thoughts.
I don't have final thoughts. I like the movie. I really think that that dads properly disposed, you know, should go to it. I think it could be good for older teens, like I said earlier, if they're well-formed. I don't know what you guys think about your kids being around a whole bunch of cussing, but that's really, you know, the biggest thing.
But spoiler alert, if they're 15 years old, they probably are around a whole bunch of cussing.
Yeah, that's right.
if they have TikTok, they are around a whole bunch of cussing.
There's a difference between being around a whole bunch of cussing and being around parent-condoned cussing.
I see.
And yep, so that's what this fair. Would be, you know, in yep. a way, is like...
Yep.
Yeah, it's okay enough for me to take you to a movie with it in it.
But yeah. As a dad, we should see this movie. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Don't take your kids. Just don't take your kids.
Sure.
And yeah, as a dad, go see this movie because it's inspirational. And what I'm hearing from you is there are a lot of different layers to where it could inspire you in regards to your relationship with your own father. It could inspire you in regards to healing from some of the things that you've done in the past and be like, no, actually, I can still do good. I'm not a piece of junk. I fall into that all the time to where it's like, oh, I messed up. And so I'm a piece of junk. And it's like, no, actually, God still has a plan for me. Right. And Father Stu kind of showcases that reality.
Yeah. I know we're already almost longer than we're already longer than we normally are, but like there's even redemptive qualities in the marriage or redemptive moments in the marriage too. Cause it was the husband and wife, Father Stu's parents were separated. I don't think they were ever divorced. They may have had other partners. I have no idea, but they all, like every scene they showed you with their wedding rings on.
Okay.
It was intentional. There's no way it was accidental that it was obvious that they had their wedding ring on.
Right.
But then at the end, one of the last scenes or whatever is the Stu's parents, dancing in the kitchen. Like the father comes up with a gentle, touch or hug or whatever, and then turns the wife around and then they start dancing in the kitchen. And that's something you never would have expected.
There's a lot of redemptive arcs. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And so even that, between husband and wife is a really cool thing, and again, I think that we all at some point in our marriage get distant from our wives. Some of it may be less distant and less obvious than others. And some of it may be, it may look like we're not distant, but we are very distant internally.
Sure.
Yeah. That's another thing is like, there's always a chance that it's never too late to convert, to turn. And that's what I think this whole movie is about. Like on the individual level, the conversion level, the, redemptive nature of the husband, the father and the son and the husband and wife, it's never too late. That's the thing that, I really got, from this.
Awesome. Well, you guys, thanks so much for joining us. Unpacking Father Stu. Matt, thank you for doing that. You guys, if you want to share your thoughts, obviously do it in the comments below. You can also subscribe and share this with someone. We would love to grow our audience. Remember, we're almost to 1,000 subscribers, which really helps us at YouTube with a bunch of algorithms. We're only 912 away. So you can help. 904, I think, is
almost.
Actually what it is.
What are you talking about? Almost.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Baby steps, baby steps. What should you do with Father Stu? Talk to us. What do you think about it in the comments below? The other piece is we want to continue dialogue with you, and the best way to do that is at The Village. The Village is an online community for Catholic parents seeking to raise saints in this modern age. And you can sign up for The Village at ablaze.us/thevillage. Anything else, Matt?
Make sure and like and subscribe and comment. Share this with other people. We need everybody to see this stuff, but especially Catholic dads,
And go spend $12 and go see Father Stu. Buy a ticket so we see more media like this created in the world today.
Amen. God bless.
God bless you.